We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Brian Costello has a report, and it's brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by Van Buren Buick GMC in Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935, and by CSEA Local 830, we work for you, and by Play Sugar House. Legal sports betting is here. Check it out at playsugarhouse.com. $250 deposit match on your first deposit. I need to do this up front because I want to be classy. I want to congratulate this man because he beat me in Ernie's auction league last week.
Oh, really? Costello's, is this baseball now we're talking about?
No, football. Oh, fantasy football. Football league. All right. And that's Brian Costello. It was a very lucky win on his part.
I heard he had Baker Mayfield in the did he have Baker Mayfield? Did you have Baker Mayfield, Brian?
Big Ben.
Okay.
Yeah, he pulled off the comeback last night. Ben gave him a little bit what was above what was expected. And you beat me. Good for you. Congratulations. You beat me by five and a half points. You lucky SOB.
Mm. So the coach, of course, I've been on a coach for years. The coach is finally getting heat, and rightfully so. Is he legitimately now on the hot seat this year?
For the end of the year, I'd say yes. I don't see the Jets making any changes.
Oh, no, they're not going to do it during the season. Yeah, I don't see that.
But end of the year, yeah, I think he's legitimately on the hot seat. I mean, you can't. This would be 4 years with no playoffs. I know he has an extension through 2020, but how many coaches survive 4 years with
no
playoff appearances?
I want to say something because you can look it up, and I know I'm right. No Jet coach that has coached at least 4 years for the Jets has never made the playoffs at least once.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's even the Jet coaches.
Walt Michaels 3 years before he made the playoffs?
Well, I'm just saying, but he was there from 1977 through 1982. He made the playoffs twice. I'm just saying that if you were there 4 years, you made the playoffs at least one time.
Well, a lot of them made the playoffs the first year.
Right, but yes, should have bowls, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I definitely think he's on the hot seat. I think that, does he have to make the playoffs this year? I'm not sure about that, but I think – There has to be a really good feeling about this team at the end of the year for him to stick around, I think.
Yeah, in the history of the Jets, Weeb Eubank made the playoffs the Super Bowl year for the first time in year number six.
Right, and then the year after that as well.
And the year after that. Walt Michaels made it for the first time in year number five.
Right, and it actually was the last 2 years he was there that he made it.
That is correct, and then he was gone. So that's the history of long droughts before making the postseason. Bowles is at four. I mean, he could.
And those are different eras. Different eras.
I was
going to
say, we don't have the patience anymore.
No,
and it's not just New York. It's not just the Jets. It's all around the National Football League. I mean, in Detroit, they were ready to fire Matt Patricia after 1 week.
I think, obviously, the Weave era is a lot different, and Walt Michaels is even different. But I do think, if things are not pointing up at the end of this year, if there's not a really good feeling around the Jets, and especially the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. Where is he at in December? Todd could be in trouble.
Also, one other thing. I mean, Joe definitely knows this. Weeb Eubank also won two championships before he ever got
there. Right,
so we're not talking about, some bozo just walked in and got a lot of time. But who ultimately, and I'm curious about this, because I know Woody is the ambassador to the United Kingdom. I saw him tweet yesterday reminding people, hey, if you're an American citizen in the UK, you can vote. You're still allowed. You can do it. Blah, 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 blah. Is he involved at all anymore? Like, is he going to be a part of that decision, or is it really all about Christopher?
I think he'll be part of that decision. I do think Christopher will be the main part. I'm sure Christopher would listen to Woody and talk to him about it, and they would discuss it. It's not like he's completely detached. He was actually at the preseason game against the Giants. Woody was here for that game. But from my understanding is when they appointed him to this role, they kind of told him, this isn't a part-time job. This is your full-time job now. You're no longer running the Jets on a day-to-day basis, and that's when Christopher took over. But he still talks. They're brothers. I mean, they talk all the time, and I still think Woody would be involved in the decision, like whether to keep a coach or fire him.
The penalties on Thursday night were just ridiculous. I mean, obviously, Crowell, with that brilliant move he made in the end zone, and then the killer of all of them was the Trumaine Johnson penalty, which I thought turned the game around completely. Yeah. You had the two-point conversion penalty on Claiborne. You had all these false starts, a big one on Brandon Schell. I mean, this is killing his team. I mean, this has got to stop, Brian.
Yeah, it's funny. There weren't that many penalties, but they all seem to be huge.
Yes, no question about it.
Everyone seemed to have a huge effect on the game, and even the week before was kind of the same against Miami.
Yes.
We're all big penalties.
Yep.
You know, and there's penalties, and then there's idiotic moves, which is what Crowell did. And I don't understand why you don't sit him down after that.
Absolutely.
You know, that to me, you can fine these guys all you want. The only thing that speaks to them is playing time. And after something like that, he would have been on the bench if it was my team. You know, holding is one thing. False starts are another thing. But this is just inexcusable. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Losing your head. And the Trumaine Johnson was kind of weird. I mean, it wasn't the craziest act I've ever seen of handing the guy the ball. But I don't know if he said something with it. But, you know, why bother doing that? You don't have to do that. Just knock it off.
For all
the
money they've paid this guy so far, we have not seen any dividends from this guy.
Yeah, he had an interception against the Lions.
Yeah, he fumbled it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I you know, the jury's still out on Trumaine Johnson, but that just you know, you had them stop, get off the field. You don't have to give Jarvis Landry the business, which, you know, Landry got in their heads a little bit during that game. Landry's a known talker on the field, and Perry Nickerson nearly got a penalty there for Trumaine Johnson. That was probably Trumaine Johnson's best play, was pushing Perry Nickerson away from Jarvis Landry and preventing a penalty there.
No, you're right. And look, they could afford to bench a guy like Isaiah Crowell more than they could Trumaine Johnson. Because
they don't have
that same kind of depth. But stuff like that has to happen because it's the kind of head-up-your-rear-end play, selfish play, that we've seen for a few years.
No doubt.
And so ultimately, you can say, it's the individual. These are two new guys. It's the individual. But it falls on the coach. It looks like it falls. The ultimate responsibility is the head coach of the football team.
It does, and it shows a lack of respect for the coach.
Sure.
To me. I mean, they're not afraid of what's going to happen, especially Crowell. You know, that was something where he clearly thought about doing that and just didn't worry about what the repercussions
can
were.
Can you imagine, Brian, if that was Odell, we would have shut down the radio station.
Yeah.
It would have been Odell 24-7
if that was
him.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, they would have gone crazy. Everyone would have gone crazy. We were saying that in the press box when it happened. Obviously, Isaiah Crowell doesn't have the profile that Odell does, but yeah, it was just such a stupid play, and I would have sat him down.
Now, the defense in the front, I know it was Tyrod Taylor, but the defense in the first half looks like they're the Steelers of the 70s, you know, like the 85 Bears, you know, that kind of defense.
Yep.
And in the second half, they were like a different team when Mayfield got on the field. I mean, I don't want to hear from the coach they were gassed. You know, I don't want to hear that. I know you played 3 days earlier. I don't want to hear that. There was no pressure. They were all over Taylor. And I understand Mayfield was throwing the ball a lot better than Taylor was. But where was the defense in the second half?
Yeah, I thought there was a few things. Mayfield did throw the ball a lot quicker than Taylor.
No, yeah, no question. It's not even debatable.
But,
right.
But I thought they took the foot off the gas a little bit. They were just bringing so much pressure in the first half.
Yep.
And I thought Mayfield put them on their heels, and they started to kind of take the foot off the gas in the second half. Maybe that was because the coaches thought people were gassed and weren't getting there anymore. I'm not sure, but they went. I said they went from the 85 Bears to the Bad News Bears in a half. You know, it was remarkable the difference watching them. You know, it reminded me of watching the Tebow game years ago, of where the defense played great, 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 and then all of a sudden,
the
starts slicing them up. So, you know, Casey Rogers is calling the plays now instead of Todd. I think he's learning as a play caller, and he probably should have just remained as aggressive as he was in the first half.
They missed two opportunities to kind of stop the tide of momentum the Browns are bringing up. Number one is when Jordan Jenkins forces a strip sack and the ball's on the ground.
They don't come up with the ball.
Yeah, all of a sudden now Baker Mayfield fumbles in his first drive, and instead of it being 14-3, who knows, maybe the Jets even score. And I thought they were given a break when the kicker, Joseph, kicked it out of bounds, and they have the ball at the 40-yard line with time remaining. And I think they had a couple of timeouts, if I'm not mistaken, to at least answer the three the Browns just put up, and they failed on both accounts. And I thought those were two big missed opportunities to kind of stop the momentum the Browns were building towards.
Yeah, there was two fumbles. There was another fumble, too, on the sideline.
Yes, by one of the receivers.
Yeah, there was a few fumbles on the ground that they didn't get. And at the end of the half, Evan, if you remember last year in Cleveland, It was 0-0 in the first half. DeShone Kizer had two red zone turnovers, and the Jets got the ball right before halftime, and they drove into field goal territory, and Catanzaro hit like a 57-yard field goal right as the clock went out and gave them a 3-0 lead and kind of just gave them a little boost going in the second half, and they won that game. And I was kind of thinking, okay, this is a similar situation here. Hit a couple passes, move down the field, and you can be in business here. But it just, you know, it never happened.
Robbie Anderson's terrible. I have had enough of this guy. All he can do is get down the field on a deep route. He can't do anything else. You throw him the ball. He puts 2 weeks in a row. He's put it on the ground. Killer turnovers. I mean, really? How much? We know with the deal off the field. How much more of this guy can we put up with?
Well, they're going to put up with a lot because who else do they have? You know, he's the guy that there's a deep threat, and you know, but they need some more production out of Robbie. And Todd said the other day that the defenses are giving him more attention, but. Yeah, then that's on Bates. He's got to figure out how to get him open and get the ball to him a little bit more and try to find ways to use his speed and things like that. And the fumbles, he's just got to learn to go down. You know, he's fighting for extra yards.
Right,
he's
right.
Not strong enough to do that. Yeah, the ball. But I think now the book is out on him, too. Every team is going to say, okay, if this guy, you get this guy, rip at the ball, try to get that ball out. So you're going to see it now every time, you know, he has the ball in his hands. But They definitely need to figure out a way to get him more involved in the offense because I think I don't know, he has 10 targets or something like that right now.
How many catches he got?
I think.
Well, you got that one touchdown in the Lion game.
Six off the top of my head.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's
and two fumbles. That he caught.
The fumbles too. Right. Don't forget that.
Right.
Yeah. The only real impactful play, other than the fumble, the positive impactful play was the touchdown in Detroit.
Yes.
Everything else has kind of been.
Yes.
Nondescript.
Yes, indeed.
Well, the targets are just ridiculous. I mean, they're completely out
Quincy.
Of whack.
Quincy
Enunwa, here are the numbers.
He's tremendous, by the way.
No, he's fantastic. He's been targeted 29 times. The next closest is 14 with Terrell Pryor.
Right.
14!
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. You do not see that with any other team, that kind of difference.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, I think Quincy's a great player. He's not Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham or one of these guys that you might see that with. But it really got out of whack, I think, this week with those short passes.
Oh,
they just
over and over
again. I mean, they worked. I mean, they were working. They just didn't take any deep shots to complement it. But, yeah, they. I don't know. You know, this week they've got to figure out a way to just kind of get the offense more balanced and get everyone involved in this offense. Because also, you know how receivers are when they're not. At some point, these receivers are going to start putting their heads down and pouting that they're not getting the ball.
Yeah, you know they got, and like you just touched on it. They got to get the ball down. They didn't even try to throw the ball down the field in this game. And now you're going to. And the reasoning was, they were worried about Myles Garrett in the pass rush. Well, now, and I know Clint Campbell got banged up a little bit last week, but now you're going up against maybe the best defense in football. So what does that mean? They're not going to throw a pass? I mean, what does that mean? You know what I mean?
You know. Yeah, and I was okay with them coming out that way. I thought it was a good way to kind of get Cleveland off balance and throw the short passes. But then they started running the ball really well in the second quarter with those outside zone runs. They were getting huge chunks.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm thinking, okay, now you take a shot. Now you do a play
right.
action.
Yes, no question about it. Yep, yep.
And it just never came. And I don't know if that's Bates or Darnold. You know, somebody said to me, Bates is probably taking too much heat for that, but the chances were there, and Darnold didn't take them. You know, it's a young quarterback. I think he was kind of seeing ghosts, too. He heard all week about how Greg Williams was. But they got to figure it out. And you're right, Jacksonville is another really good defense. And then if you want to look ahead, you got Von Miller coming to town next week.
Yeah, so right.
It doesn't get much easier for them. They're going to have to figure this out.
Yeah, give me your thoughts on this Jacksonville game, because they're coming off a bad loss. They couldn't do anything offensively.
Yep.
As for the injuries are a big question, because Joe mentioned Calais Campbell, who's questionable, but Leonard Fournette, are they going to get him back?
Right.
Give me your impression on this one, especially with a couple of extra days, too, to get ready.
And they're banged up on the offensive line. I think they're missed. Their left tackle is out for the season, and then right guard missed the game the other day. So they have some injuries. It's an interesting matchup. I just think, you know, the Jaguars are going to be so focused now after getting knocked off on Sunday. I think the Jets are probably going to run into a buzzsaw down there, and they might get into some trouble. Fournette is a big question. I'm kind of thinking he'll probably be back. You know, he's missed 2 weeks now with the hamstring, but that is a big question mark. But it's hard to predict games in this league now.
No, it's ridiculous.
You guys, I don't know how you guys are doing in your Friday picks, but who saw the Bills going in and beating Minnesota? So, you know, it's not out of the question if the Jets win this game. I just think they're going to be facing a pretty focused, motivated team this Sunday.
I'll tell you right now, you know, they lose this game, which I fully think that they will. I mean, they could be like 1-7 by the time they get to the midpoint of the season. I mean,
yeah.
Denver at home. Denver, is that, are you confident they're beating the Broncos at home? Even the Colts.
No,
I mean, I don't think they're beating the Colts.
Are you confident that any of those teams are going to beat the Jets? Like it's like I just said.
I have no confidence at all in this team. None. No, I don't. I mean, why I should?
Because it's the NFL.
All right, that's why.
The Lions beat the Patriots.
I understand.
The Vikings. Like,
I know. I understand.
You know, it's a week-to-week league.
It is a week-to-week league.
The Jets have looked like a very different team. You know, week one, they look like a very different team than they did the other night. So,
or the first half to second half.
Right.
You just don't know. If you just look at the schedule, oh, my God, they're going to be 1-7. But I think they'll win some of these games. They got 3 games at home after this week. They're going to win some games.
Yeah, I hope you're right. By the way, is Leonard Williams still on a team, or is he? By the way, where is he?
Invisible. Oh
my God!
Night.
Well, he's got his commercial at least.
Yeah, that's why he's great.
Yeah.
Is he a free agent after this year, Williams?
No, they got the 5th-year option on him going into 2019. But usually teams negotiate before that option year. So it'll be curious to see. What I'm interested to see is. They all said, you know, the stats aren't important. He gets double teamed. You know,
I'm tired of hearing that. He's not Joe Green. Let's be honest.
Well, let's see what they say when they're at the negotiating table. Are they going to say, Leonard, we know you didn't have any sacks. It's okay. We know you were close to getting sacks.
Right.
Or they're going to say, hey, Leonard, you didn't really produce. We're not going to pay you. You know, so that'll be interesting to see.
All right. What are you hearing about their interest level in Le'Veon Bell?
Just very cursory right now. You know, they checked in on him. They wanted to see what the price was. Right now, I think the Steelers are asking a lot. Does that change in a month? Maybe, but it's a hard deal because you can't extend him. You know, I'm sure you guys have talked about this. It's not like Khalil Mack where you can give him a contract and you know he's going to be on your team for years.
No, you have to just basically, and this is why I'm so against trading for him, and it's not even the debate of signing him, which we can have it another day.
Yeah, you can have that in March.
That's fine, and I'm open to that, but trading for him is
ridiculous.
First of all, this team's not going anywhere.
No.
Let's just be honest for a second. They'll win a few. I agree with Brian, Joe, that I think the Jets are going to win a game or two that we don't see coming.
Probably.
But the odds are they're not a playoff team. This is not good enough. They have a rookie quarterback. I get all that. So you're trading for a guy, really, for next year. That's really why you're trading for him. So just sign him next year.
I'm
then.
Not giving away draft choices for him.
And there's no guarantee he'll be on your team next year if you trade for
him.
I'm sure they'd have a wink-wink agreement, you know, but he could turn on the market and say, hey, you know what? This other team's offering me more money. I'm going there.
And then
you're really screwed. So.
I'm actually confident that if they wanted Le'Veon Bell, enough, and they have a lot of cap room, they can go get him. I don't think there's going to be this robust market for him. If they determine, you know, it would be great for Sam Darnold, let's give him Le'Veon Bell. Then give him some stupid contract. The Jets could afford it, and they'll go get him. So go do that next year, not now. Don't give up draft assets.
Definitely not.
Yeah, that's what I wrote today. I agree with you. I just go after him in March if you want him. Just leave it alone now. But this is the thing with these, like, you know, the Jets checked in on this. McCagnan checks in on everything. As well he should. He's doing his job. He's just, you know, he's calling. He calls everybody and makes sure to see, you know, what the price is. Right now, that's all this was. I don't see them trading for Le'Veon Bell. Next year, signing him, that could be a different story.
Mm. Is Marcus May playing this year or no?
He might play this week.
Really?
Tomorrow, we'll see him on. Tomorrow, we'll see practice for the first time. He looked like he was trending toward play. He's out there. He's running around. He looks fine to when you're watching him. So I'm curious to see if he has a helmet on tomorrow in his practice, and we'll find out tomorrow about that. But I think he could be back this week.
Mm. By the way, because I love you and I love looking out for you, the only tight end on your roster is Evan Engram. He's going to be out for a while, so you better go scour the waiver wire, right, Brian?
Who are you going for?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Going for Tomlinson from the Jets? Is that where you're going? Neil Sterling, is he
Neil
still
Sterling.
Hurt?
Sterling.
He's not bad. Is he still hurt?
He's not terrible. Yeah.
The other guy's terrible, Herndon. That play in the Miami game was unbelievable. How that guy, it's bad enough to play throwing a ball in the middle of the field with no timeouts at the end of the Dolphin game. Can the guy fall into the end zone? I mean, he's right. And then he says he didn't know where he was.
He didn't know
but where did
right
he
now.
Think he was? Did he think he was at midfield? I mean, what do you mean he didn't know where you were? You're on the half-damn yard line. What a disgrace.
I got to tell you guys,
Brian, please.
I was supposed to be on with you guys on Friday after the game, and I got a text from Ernie. We'll have to do it next week. They just want to yell today. Yeah. That was the message I got from Ernie.
Oh, is that what Ernie said?
There's a lot of that.
Oh, the day after the Browns disaster?
Yeah. I just want to yell today.
Well, what'd you think?
Of course. What are we supposed to do? Throw a party?
And what made it worse, you know what, Brian? And you probably didn't have to deal with this. What made it worse?
I got to tell Brian this.
With the pom poms on television we had to deal with.
Oh, my God. You didn't see this. It was like a Browns a love fest all over the place. It was unbelievable. But I got to tell you this story. I got to tell you this is unreal. So I'm at the Dolphin game, right? I was actually sitting up in the same section as Ira from Staten Island, right? I wasn't sitting with Ira, but I was up there. Very good seats right in the midfield. So they're down 20-0 at halftime. Okay, they're playing like garbage. Typical Jet game, down 20-0. I'm at lifeless and all of this, right? So I come back out with my wife. I come back out to sit down for the second half. This guy in front of me in a Joe Namath jersey, right, turns around and starts ripping me. You're too negative. You're never positive. Everything is negative. And he's effing this and he's effing that. And it was unbelievable. I mean, my wife was, I had to calm it down a little bit. You know, she's trying to be nice to the guy. Yeah. And I'm all I said was, hey, bro, 50 years, I'm supposed to be positive. And he's going on and on. And he oh my God. So then once the game started, my wife had to go out for a little while. She had to come back to calm down. She comes back to the seat. He never said another word to me the rest of the game, And then at the end of the game, I hear his buddy say, "Oh, we've seen this game before." And I wanted to say something to him. Oh, really? Oh, you've seen this game before? But I'm supposed to be Mr. Positive. And then the day after the Brown game, right? It had to be the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
Calls up and does this. You're too negative, and you're negative, and this. And he's going on and on. You should coach the team. Why don't you coach the team if you think you can do it? Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, when I hear I'm negative, I say just win games.
Without a freaking Super Bowl appearance, and I'm supposed to be Mr. Chiffle. You think that guy? Well, like, obviously, because he was still positive after the Brown game, because he called after the Brown game.
No, he's still positive.
Still Mr. Positive.
He's definitely the guy, though.
No, there's no doubt about
it. No question.
Nothing but positives. Nothing but positives, Brian. It's great.
Hard to be positive after that Brown game.
I think we give Bowles another 4-year extension.
Four more years.
Four more for Bowles. Oh, baby.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you, Brian. Enjoy Jacksonville, huh?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.